Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
I always like to start the beginning of the year. I ended the year on the way to go out. I like to start the year with just talking about the upcoming year a little bit, and what your thinking is towards it. So I call this charting your course for the year. Here's some things that we can count on for this year. We can count on some things that we do not expect, both positive and negative. Have you ever had a year where you just, everything went exactly like you thought it was going to go? No, that's why you're all laughing. It's not, okay. There will be things we don't expect this year. I like the good ones. I'd like to skip the bad ones, but a lot of times that happens. We can count on that. We can count on situations this year that will try our faith and our strength. If you're dealing with, you say, well, don't confess that over me. Don't profess that over me. I'm just telling you a fact of life. Unless you live around nobody and have your food brought in, you're going to have some situations that will try your faith and strength this year. We're going to have opportunities to grow personally. That's good. You can grow personally. We have opportunities. We have opportunities this year to improve relationships. Now, that's both personal relationships and your relationship with the Lord. You have an opportunity to improve that this year. And it's really, think about it, your relationship with the Lord is not up to Him. It's up to you. You want to improve it. He's never changed. And so He's there, and you come close to Him, He'll come close to you. And the closer you come to Him, the closer He'll come to you. So you can improve that relationship. You can actually improve your other relationships, your friendships. If you're married, you can improve your marriage this year. Boy, it's too quiet on that one. And if you get two of you in agreement on that, it can really get good. So I can promise you those things are going to happen this year. Now, here's what we can control. We're not going to be able to control every situation and event in the year. Can't control it. Wish we could. I'd be lying if I said we could. So we're not going to be able to control everything. Here's what we can control. We can control our response to what happens. How many of you have figured out that you're not going to change some of the people around you in your life? Amen. Just look straight ahead and go. I know that's disheartening for some of you, but you really don't have the ability to change everything. You can't control every situation. And so what we can control is we can control how we respond. And the stronger we get, and the stronger we get in faith, stronger we get in our relationships, the easier it becomes to control our responses. Some of you can say, man, I don't respond near like I used to years ago. And I used to have really much more of a temper than I have now. Well, actually, I still have a temper, but I have it. It doesn't have me. And so people say, well, you know, Alan, you've gotten older. You've just matured as you've gotten older. No, I know some mean, nasty old people. If you're waiting for everybody to get sweet when they get older, this isn't wine we're talking about. This is people. And so that's not necessary. But I can tell you this. You have a relationship with the Lord. You can get sweeter as you get older. You can grow in Him, and you can respond differently. How many of you are honest? You say, you know, have you ever had a situation where you went, man, thank God I know the Lord, because if that had happened a few years ago, it would have been bad. Some of you have been thinking, jail time. It would have been jail time. So how you respond to things. My daughter one time was talking to me while we watched the movie at home when Christina was still at home before she was married. We watched the movie Taken, the first one. It's a good movie. Joy actually enjoyed that movie. I have a particular set of skills. That's the one where the guy's daughter is abducted, and he goes and gets her. hurts a lot of people in the process. And we finished the movie, and my daughter looks at me and she said, I wish I had a dad like that. I said, really? I said, if you did have a dad like that, your boyfriend would be walking with a limp right now. A permanent one, so. So as we mature in the Lord, our responses get better. Yes, right? Here's an important key to controlling responses and charting a course for the year. We're going to have to guard and protect our heart, our inner life. Proverbs 4 chapter. Let's take a look at that. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now, when the Bible's talking about heart here, it's talking really about your inner man, your spirit, your soul. It's talking about the inner life, not your blood pump. It is good to take care of your heart, but that's not the heart we're looking to guard here. And so it says, it determines the course of your life. From our heart spring the issues of life, New King James. Christian Standard Bible said, guard above all else, guard your heart. It's the source of life. And what we find is that what is in us is what comes out of us. And so we learn to live life. We really begin to live life inside out. We begin to live more from the responses of our heart than simply reacting to what takes place out here. And that's so much a better place to live. So let's talk a little bit about how can we guard our heart this year? How can you guard your inner man? If it's a source of life, if it's a source of strength, if it's a source of health for us, then we need to make sure that we're doing what we can to take care of it. And we want to guard that. And I hear people say, well, I'm going to guard my heart. I'm not going to let anybody get close to me. No one's going to really know me. That's how I'm going to guard my heart. We're really not talking about that. We're really talking about protecting and guarding your inner man and taking care of it. So let's look at that. Here's the first one. To guard your heart, we need to recognize the value of God's word. Recognize the value of God's word. Psalms 119, verse 72. Psalms 119, longest chapter in the Bible. And almost every verse talks about God's precepts, his law. We could say God's word. And it says, by the law of your mouth, or by God's word, is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Now, either we think that the psalmist is hyping things, or he really has developed an understanding and a heart for God's word, and he recognizes it's actually more valuable than money. Now, if someone came to you right now and gave you $1 million, just think about it. Someone handed you, they said, you know, I just love you, and God just put it on my heart to give you $1 million. First, you take it. Do not show false humility and go, no, no. You just go, thank you very much. But how many of you know this? Right now, you're dealing with things that $1 million won't solve. It won't solve it. It'll make it easier while you deal with some of those things. And I know some of you are thinking, no, try me. I'll make it work. No, there are things right now. If someone came up and handed me $1 million, I would be very grateful. I would receive it. But there are things that it's not going to solve in my life. And so what we are going to find out is, this is why the psalmist is saying, I'm valuing God's word. I'm giving it a higher value than thousands of coins of gold and silver. It's worth more than money. There's something in me, I don't know, maybe it's once I was a kid, there's something in me that's always loved the idea of hidden treasure, of finding hidden treasure. I just think that's such a cool thing. I dug up my backyard when I was a kid looking for hidden treasure. There was nothing there, but I always liked that idea. And I was watching a YouTube clip about this guy, and he looked like you remember the hippie days of the late 60s and 70s. He had long hair, long beard. It had turned white. He was an Air Force vet, and he had bought a Rolex watch in 1974. And he kept all the paperwork and the boxes and the receipts and everything. And he took it to that antique roadshow. He took it to them, and he's standing there, and the guy says, "Well, the watch, he bought the watch and stuck it in a safe deposit box. Didn't even wear it." The guy goes, "Well, you know, usually a watch like this, this rare, this condition, it's going to make anywhere between $350,000 and $400,000. And the guy falls on the ground. And he gets up, and the guy goes, "Don't fall." He says, "Because actually your watch is worth more than that. Yours should go for around $700,000. I read someone who put a note in there, so they followed up on that story. It went at auction for $1.3 million. And if any of you have a watch like that, here's the thing. He had no idea of the value of that watch. None. I really think we're going to, this is a great prayer. Lord, show me the value of your word. I think sometimes it's, you know, if you're not careful, you'll say things like, "Oh, you know, I got to read my Bible." And, or, you know, "I have to read my Bible." No, this isn't a have to, it's a get to. It's a privilege. And if we would give it a higher valuation, it would help you. Instead of going, "I have to read my Bible," go, "Lord, thank you. Your word is valuable to me. Your word's helping my life. It's making a difference in my life." So you want to start there. Jesus said his words were spirit and life. We just read this chapter. You'll actually read it tomorrow, because everybody here at the Ark reads Bible 365. And so you'll read this tomorrow. It's the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they're life. It is valuable. If we're talking about protecting our heart, we need to guard our heart. We need to put God's word into our heart, because it is spirit and life to our heart. And this is how we get stronger. So here's how we can respond to something that's high value. In the book of Proverbs, it's got a great list of instructions there. And it says in Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 22, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." Catch that? Life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. So what we're talking about tonight is really taking, as you go into this year, what is something that's going to make a real difference in this year? What is something that's going to really help you this year? If maybe you don't read your Bible, and maybe you're thinking, I really don't have time to read my Bible. Let me encourage you. This book will change your life. This book is valuable. This book can solve things that money can't. And this book can help you. It can make relationship problems go away. It can make you a better person to be around. It can make you a better parent. It can make you a better spouse. It can make you a better friend. It can make you a better employee. It can make you a better witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. This book can change you. And if you'll treat it as valuable and begin to put it into your life, it's going to work. Now, I realize I'm talking to the wonderful Wednesday people. You are here on Wednesday, but listen, don't overlook this book. Don't do it. This year, if you want to make a difference, if you want to get stronger, do this. So here's some ways you can respond in responding to something that has high value. First, he says, give God's word your attention. My son, pay attention to my words. Paying attention is an accurate thing. That's accurate. You hear people say, pay attention. Do you realize your attention is valuable? Where you give your attention to is valuable. Joy and I had a chance to get away after Christmas, and we always try to do that, and that's why Michael complains about being the youth pastor that has to preach the next Sunday. But he loved it. Anyway, Joy and I were talking about when we got away for a little bit, we just tried to slow down. Have you ever noticed sometimes it takes you a while to slow down? There's something, your attention, our attention, we're like squirrels. We're here. our attention. We got job, we got work, we got people, we got things going on. You got kids at home, you got a lot of things. And where you give your attention to is really valuable, because we only have so much time and so much attention. And so really what you want to examine is, what am I giving my attention to, and how is it profiting me? Because if you did an audit of where you gave your attention to, you're probably going to wind up like me and going, why am I doing this? Why am I watching YouTube clips of guys who have million-dollar watches? Why am I even doing that? And you begin to realize that what you give your attention to, and this is why the Bible said, give attention to my words. And so you want to begin to focus there. My suggestion is, how many of you are morning people? Okay, how many of you are night people? You're night. Well, that's almost evenly divided. Okay, here's my suggestion. Whatever time you're most awake and most focused, that's a great time to read the Bible. I'm more of a morning guy, because by the evening, there's been a whole lot of things rolling around in my head. And in the morning, if I get up early enough, nobody is talking to me. Nobody's texting me. You say, well, doesn't your wife talk to you in the morning? No. No, we have an arrangement. She gets coffee and goes into her prayer room. I go into my prayer room. Say, well, don't you pray together? Not really. We have times that we pray together, but in the morning, I just want to talk to the Lord. And if I do it in the morning, before my mind gets cluttered, because how many of you know, as soon as you go to email or text or social media, Instagram, wherever you go, your attention gets diverted. And I know people say, well, I'm a multitasker. They have done studies that it takes you a certain amount of time. Once you shift your attention and then shift it back, it takes you an X amount of time to actually get your attention back to the right place. So our attention starts to diminish. So let me just encourage you. You want to spend the quality time. Now, for you night people, I guess you can do this at night. You're awake at night. You're alert. And so instead of scrolling, pick this up. Now, it's more challenging, because scrolling is a mind rest. But to give your attention to here will take something from you. Paying attention. You have to pay with your attention to do this. And I hear you breathing. I know you're out there. How do you know it's listen, I've talked about this. I grew up, I loved television. Man, I could just get captivated by it. I'd sit there all day. My dad didn't just cut it off. I loved it. And so for me, YouTube is a problem, because there's a million new things that look interesting. And the problem is, it's not all bad. But I can look up and have blown an hour easy, and it's not paying off. And so I'm just saying, before you go that route, pick your Bible up. Read it. You say, well, yeah, I just read the whole chapter. I don't even know what I read. I've done that numerous times. You say, shouldn't happen to you. You're a pastor. It happens. I can read a whole chapter and act like I don't even know what I just read. You know what I do? Read it again. And then sometimes I'll read it again. And then sometimes I'll read it again. And what you're doing is you're starting, and I found usually about the third time, I start to hone in. I can focus. I don't know if that helps you or not. But we really have, listen, one of the biggest things we're having to fight for today is our attention and where our focus is. And so the scripture says, son, pay attention to my word. So give it your attention. Here's the second one. Incline your ear to what God's word is saying. Again, incline your ear. Jesus used to say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Don't let it depart from your eyes. You say, wait, who? Don't let it depart. How am I going to let God's word not depart from my eyes? You know, sometimes some of the ancient Jews used to put these little leather boxes called Teflon, where they had scriptures, and they would put it on their forehead right there. It's a nice thought, but it's not going to do you any good. You don't need the word here. You need it here. And it actually needs to be here in your thoughts. It says, don't let it depart from your eyes. And this is something we'll have to go into at a later time. He says, let God's word begin to guide thoughts and form the boundaries of where we allow our imagination to go. I'll say that again. It begins to form the boundaries of where we allow our imagination to go. Our thinking, our thoughts. A lot of times I've heard people say, well, it doesn't hurt to think about it. That's where it starts. You hear people say, well, I'm just looking. That's how it starts. Car dealers will tell you that. You show up on a car lot, and they'll say, can I help you? You just say, I'm just looking. That's how it starts. And so where we're giving our attention to and where our thoughts are going. And so what happens is we begin to allow God's word to begin to form the boundaries of how we think, including how we think about ourselves. And so we don't think about ourselves, maybe what other people have said about us. We don't think about ourselves, what our ex said about us. We think about ourselves according to what God's word has said about me. And so instead of getting up, looking in the mirror and go, oh, dear God, you're just a mess. You're a mess. We get up, look in the mirror and go, you're a child of God. You're a new creation. God's spirit lives in you, and you are a blessing to the people around you. What am I doing? I'm allowing God's word to form the boundaries of what I think. Give attention to my words. Listen to what God's word is saying. That's his voice. People say, I need to hear from God. Pick your Bible up. That's his voice to you. Don't let it depart from your eyes. That's a deeper subject. We can talk about it later. But begin to see yourself with what God's word says you are. Now, here's some practical ways. Practical ways to guard and protect your heart. Ooh, I have to roll. I call this the wow method. Wow. Not woo, wow. Proverbs 4, verse 24. Says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. So we're going back to guarding our heart, talking about guarding our heart. We talked about putting God's word in our life. Now we're talking about guarding our heart. One of the first things you want to do is guard your words. Put a valuation on your words. Put a value on your words. Let's play a hypothetical situation. What if someone came to you tonight, you're walking out and say, hey, listen, tomorrow, I will give you $5 for every positive word you say. And neutral words, you get nothing. And negative words, you lose five. Now, you're thinking, oh, that's ridiculous. But how many of you know if someone said that to you, you would think about your words? Because if you got $5 for every word that was positive you said, then when that person pulled out in front of you into your lane and the left lane and went slow, you were about to say, you idiot, what? And then you would go, oh, you are a blessed creature of God. Because you want the money. If someone was giving you $5 for every good word you said, how many of you would think of some good things to say about the people around you? Oh, there you are, you blessed car. Love you. You are awesome. You are good. You'd be saying words. But he says, you got to put away from you. Listen, if you want to guard your heart, you got to guard your words. You can't keep speaking. You can't keep speaking the negative things in your life. You can't keep speaking the despair and the agony and have it not impact your heart. Have you ever, Jordan and I talked about one time when we were going on a date. You've heard me say this before, so if you know, we'll start numbering all my stories and I'll just go, number seven. You go, that's a good story, number seven. We were going on a date. I was taking her down to Papacito's, and this was when it was down near Guns Point. And we had only been to Poncho's as a family. We'd only been there. And so Jordan had a date night. We're not going to Poncho's, although those sopapillas was really good. But it stops there. Anyway, so we're going down there. And date night, had someone watching the kids. Kids were little. And we gotten a bad report about one of our children. It was a doctor's report. And I remember on the way down there, we talked that problem. And we talked that problem. We got out. We went in the restaurant. And this was special for us. We didn't get to go out to eat much then. But we kept talking the problem, and it just ruined a meal. The negatives, and we called ourselves afterwards and said, we can't do that. We're going to have to talk answers. We're going to have to talk God's word. See, you can talk what's all around you and what you're seeing and what the negatives are. And I understand that, guys. All of us deal with that. But what I'm saying is, it's not helping you. It's not helping you to even talk that way about yourself. It doesn't help you when you look at yourself and go, you're hopeless. You'll never amount to much. Dear God, you're a horrible Christian. I don't even know why the Lord puts up with you. That's not helping you. Your words need to line up. And this is why, here's the deal. You begin to read this book, and you begin to realize that what God says about you is different. And you can say the same thing. And so you begin to use words that have an impact. And words that, because I want to tell you something, actually, your words are more valuable than money. I said it on Sunday. We can't remember what we had for breakfast 2 days ago, but we can remember something negative someone said to us in the third grade. Words are powerful. And so he said, if we want to guard our heart, one of the first places we have to do is guard our words and avoid toxic words. I'll close with this one. This is Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt, and that word means toxic word, proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now, two things to think about there. No corrupt word, words that are toxic, words that are abusive, words that are demeaning. We don't let words like that go out of our mouth because that's not going to build. That word edification means to build up. That's not going to build anybody up. And so our words need to build up. But it says that it may impart grace to the hearers. Who's another hearer of your words? You. The words that come out of your mouth about you need to be words that are not toxic. Words that are not hopeless. You don't need to look at yourself and go, dear God, I'll never get over this. I'll never get ahead. I can never do this right. Your words, that's not helping you. That's not building you up. So, Ellen, that's the facts. That's what it is. There's something that's higher than the facts around you, and that is God's word and what he says about you. And what you can begin to do in the middle of this is begin to say, thank God I am, Father, what you say I am, and I can do exactly what you say I can do. I hear a lady who's a great preacher who told me that her daughter went to school when she was five. And their daughter, they'd always told their daughter, you're beautiful, you're smart, God's blessing is on you, you're a leader, you're strong. And when she went to pick her daughter up, Christian school, went to pick her daughter up school, teacher pulled her aside and said, your daughter, we had an incident here where a little boy picked a fight with your daughter. And he said, your daughter had her little toy, little lovey, that's what he calls them, little loveys, the little plush toy. And the boy snatched it away from her. She snatched it back and he said, you can't have that toy. He says, you're ugly. He said, you are ugly and you're stupid. And the mom was like, oh, what did my daughter say? And the teacher said, you'd have loved this. Said, your daughter looked him in the eye and said, I am not ugly and I am not stupid. My daddy says, I am beautiful and I am smart. And she snatched that toy back. Now, here's the deal. You need to stop buying into what you're not. And you need to look the enemy and you need to look life in the eye and go, my Father says I'm a new creation. My Father says I am strong in the Lord. My Father says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. To guard your heart, start with your words. We'll pick this up next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these that came and those who are watching online. I thank you for their heart to grow, to learn that this year they want to be different. this year that they want to be closer to you. This year, they want to see differences in their families and their businesses. I thank you for them. And I pray, Father, that you would grant them wisdom and understanding. And as they give their attention to you, that you will bless their lives and strengthen them on the inside. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here and you say, you know, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord that I know of, or I'm not sure about it, or I used to at one time and I've gotten away from God and I want to come back, you're in a great place. We're not going to have you stand up. We're not going to have you come to the front. We are going to pray. If you want our prayers, if you want to be in on this and say, I want to be sure where I stand with the Lord, or I want to come back to Him, would you pray for me? I just need you to shoot your hand up real quick across this auditorium and say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. His hands have gone up all over. Anybody else? Say, that's me. Thank you. Anybody else? Great. Wonderful. Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Thank you for your courage and your heart. You put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, you wanted to. You can still pray this prayer with us. This is a heart prayer. If you're online, I can't see you, but you can pray this with us. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer, for those who come out of darkness into light, and for those who've come back home. We rejoice with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.